Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, everybody, and welcome home. For the past few years, we've always started our programs with this statement, and we mean it, because community is a place that we all should call home, a place that gives us peace, a place that gives us tranquility, and a place that we know is going to be there. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes faith in the Quran, He mentions stability as being a requirement for faith to grow. Asluha thabit wa faruha fis sama', that its roots are firm and its branches grow to the sky. If we don't have stability, if we don't have permanence, if we don't know that something is going to be there for us, then our faith won't be able to grow. This is why when the Prophet ﷺ came to Medina and made the migration, the hijrah, with his companions, at that moment, when they arrived at their new permanent home, he said the beautiful phrase, "Afshus salam," spread peace. Why? Because peace can be attained now that we have a place that we can call home. For the past 5 years, Roots has been able to be a part of so many people's lives, alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah. And we're so honored to have that be a part of our legacy. But we've been doing it in temporary spaces. We've been doing it in hotel banquet halls, in masjid side rooms, in people's living rooms at home, and in temporary lease spaces where when we were signing the lease, we knew that this was not going to be there forever. But that can change. By the favor of Allah, with our foundational organization, Qalam, we've been able to find this beautiful property here in Carrollton, Texas, that will be the permanent location and facility for the Roots community space, a place where everybody can feel that tranquility and have that growth of faith that Allah Ta'ala tells us about. We need your help to close on this property. We need you to generously donate and contribute whatever you can, adding your name to this list of people that will help build and construct a permanent home for us to build the model community following the example of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in Medina. Help us make this dream a reality. Visit rootsdfw.org/home.
Alrighty. Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah wa alhamdulillah. As-salatu as-salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Welcome home, everybody. Welcome back. I know that last week we had a week off, so I hope everyone enjoyed their Eid. Everyone's Eid was good. Kind of snuck up on everybody, but inshallah, everyone's doing all right, had a good time, and is surviving the heat wave outside. You know, we ask Allah Ta'ala to protect people, man, subhanAllah. I was just telling a group of college students last night that, you know, we complain a lot. We talk to each other about how hot it is and how difficult it is, but in reality, most of us here, if not all of us, our main interaction with the heat is like walking from our car to the next building with air conditioning, and then walking from that building back to our car, and then maybe our air conditioning in our apartment or our house, like we just have to turn it on and wait for 30 minutes until it cools back down a little bit. But we may not have to deal with like the onslaught of heat just beating down on us for hours and hours. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us more grateful. And so, that's something that, you know, something to reflect about, inshallah. So we are actually going to be continuing today with a disease that does not relate to the tongue. We were in a mini series, diseases of the heart that were manifest through the tongue. But now we're going to change, and we're going to switch back to diseases of the heart that might be difficult to detect. And these are things that are obviously, you know, in their own way, very revealing, right? Because again, it's hard to figure out without thinking about the symptoms what we can do to find out if we have this disease or not. And for most of these diseases, it's not about whether or not we have it, but it's to what degree do we have this disease, okay? So this disease is mentioned actually all throughout the Quran, and it's one that a lot of people, you know, struggle with, and that's why Allah Ta'ala mentions it so frequently. And even the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he mentions it numerous times in different ahadith, and he mentions it in a very positive light, trying to encourage people to be able to conquer this disease. Now, in short, in the books of Tazkiyah, this disease is known as displeasure with divine decree, being displeased with divine decree. How many of us have ever been upset about something that happened before? Okay, so this is something that's challenging now. I know a lot of people didn't raise their hand because you're like, no, I don't have this. But most of us have been upset with something before, whether it's something like serious, or whether it's something that's fleeting. It could be something, someone cutting you off on the highway, or it could be you not getting a job, or not getting married, or not getting into that program, or your business not working. Like, it could be anything. And being displeased is something that is natural. It's something that is human. So how then do we distinguish and delineate between that which is normal, natural, and human to be displeased with something versus to have such a level of displeasure with what Allah has decreed that we then become actually spiritually destructive. And there's a fine line. So today we're going to talk about what that line is. Now in the Quran, Allah mentions it. And part of why He mentions this, we're going to ask everybody, there's a reason why He mentions it in this way. Very famous verse. It occupies many people's Twitter bios and Instagram bios, okay? وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Wow. Okay, so the verse translates as, and it might be that you hate something, but in actuality that thing is good for you. It is what's good for you. And at the same time, it might be that you love something, but in actuality that thing is bad for you. So that's just a statement of fact. Allah Ta'ala says there will be moments in life where you try so hard to acquire something, but it's actually something bad for you. And there are other moments in life where you try so hard to avoid something, but that thing is actually what's best for you. And then Allah finishes it by saying, وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ. Allah knows, وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And you don't know. Why is that ending so important to the beginning of the verse? The beginning talks about this reality, and the ending talks about this proclamation. Why is it so critical that Allah tells us that? That Allah knows and we don't know. Yeah, Mariam.
You have to like keep your faith and not lose hope.
Okay.
Even though you don't know, still have to keep your faith.
Okay, good. So number one is you have to keep your faith, even though you may not know. And that is, for a lot of us, I mean, you described it perfectly, but for a lot of us, let's be honest, easier said than done, right? Like when you're in the middle of something and someone says, keep your faith, you're like, yeah, keep it to yourself. You know what I mean? Like, it's very difficult when something that you have your heart so invested in and so attached to, when that doesn't go well. But what Maryam said is right. And actually what she said is kind of like the conclusion. It's where everyone arrives at. No matter what, okay? But what's the process to get there? Allah gives it to us in this verse. You have something? Yeah.
I was gonna say, like, you know, often tells that the human knowledge is like limited, so Allah's wisdom is beyond what we can think about.
Very good. Human knowledge is limited. And Allah's wisdom, in contrast, is unlimited. So for a person to try to be able to understand as to why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does something. That's actually, by the way, the crux of our frustration. When something doesn't go the way we want, the real frustration is why? Why is this happening? And for a person to demand Allah, oh Allah, tell me why you did this. That person is demanding to know what is unlimited. What is completely divine. Whereas we are limited. Like you can only jump a certain height. You can only be awake for a certain amount of time. You can only go so long without food or water. And even, you can only eat a certain amount. I know many of us have tested that, Ramadan. You can only eat a certain amount. So our existence is defined by what? We are limited. There is nothing about a human being that is unlimited. Have you guys ever slept too much? Slept so much that you're like, yeah, before you have kids, keep doing it, right? Because once you have kids, no more. Right? Your kids call the adhan. Not really. Right? But you seriously, you guys ever heard the phrase, there's too much of a good thing? Absolutely. So we are defined in our material existence by limits. You know, we are limited. And so when we try to say, oh Allah, why did you do this? We're trying now to enter into the realm of the unlimited. Allah's knowledge, His wisdom, His understanding is unlimited. So He knows things that we don't know. Anyone here learned something recently? Anything at all? Anyone?
Yeah.
You guys learned something? Yeah, Rami, what did you learn? No, not that. I'm not talking about here. It's like a narcissism contest. Tell me what you learned from me. No. What did you learn? Like, did you guys learn anything recently?
Coffee design.
Coffee what?
Design.
Oh, design, like latte art? Okay, mashallah. Good. Anyone else? You guys are just not learning.
Carpentry.
Huh?
Carpentry.
Carpentry? Okay, mashallah, Jesus. Yes, go. You're in school for forensic psychology, so you're learning?
Forensic psychology.
Great. Okay, I would hope so. All right. Anyone else? Did I tell you this the other day? I learned that when it says a percentage of rain, it doesn't talk about the percentage that's going to happen, but the amount of space that it's okay. So I didn't know what that meant until, like, when it said 40% chance of rain, it doesn't mean that there's a 40% chance of rain. It means 40% of your area will get rain.
What?
Exactly. Uh-huh. Happy to just ruin your life. Okay, so I learned that the other day. If it says rain, it's going to rain. It just maybe where, they don't know, right? Along those best. Okay, anyone else? You learned something new? Anything cool? Who? Carotid?
Carotid surgery.
Carotid surgery. Are you a...
I'm a PA.
You're a PA, okay. Yeah, so you're in that field, right? So you're in healthcare, mashallah. Excellent, okay. So, everyone is learning something all the time. What does learning something prove to you when you learn something? That you didn't know it. And if you didn't know that, isn't that evidence that you don't know other things too? Is it possible that there are other things in the world that you don't know? Absolutely. Now, we sit here after doing that exercise and we're like, oh, yeah, you're right. But why can't we have that same realization when something is not going the way we want it to? Right? And Imam Ghazali, he says something really powerful about this, subhanAllah. He says human beings, and when he says you, he means himself too. He talks about everybody. He says you're not fair. Human beings are not fair. You know why we're not fair? Because we only get upset with Allah when things don't go the way we want to. But do we ever get upset with Allah when Allah does something that we view in our favor that we didn't expect? Like if we didn't deserve something, okay? We just open up our mailbox and there's a check for $1,000. And we didn't like deserve it. Like there was no reason. It was just like, oh, okay. Does anyone be like, why Allah? Why me? Nobody does that. Because why? Because we perceive that to be preferable. I want that, you know? You're driving around, and all of a sudden, the minute that you pull up, someone pulls out, you need that parking spot, you get front row parking. No one's like, yeah, Allah, why do you do this to me? Everyone's happy at that moment. So Imam Ghazali says, actually, you're not being just. You're not being fair. In your inquisitiveness, you're only questioning when things don't go your way. If you were truly fair, you would question everything. And you know what's crazy about that? If you question everything, the amount of good that happens to you versus the amount that you don't like happening to you will always be outnumbered. That's why we don't do it. Because if we question, oh Allah, why did you just let me breathe? Why did you just let me blink? Oh Allah, that sip of water. Why did you just let it, why did you let me wake up today healthy? Why did you, if we have that level of academic honesty in our questioning, by the third question we say, okay, I'm done. Allah is too generous. As my wife's grandfather, may Allah bless him, he passed away a couple years ago, and his wife just passed away today. May Allah Ta'ala bless both of them and reunite them in the barzakh, inshallah. As he used to say, if I spent my entire day thanking Allah, I would not have time to complain to him. If I spent my entire day thanking Allah. So that all comes from Wallahu ya'lamu wa antum la ta'lamun. Okay? Another verse, the creation of Adam. When Allah Ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, and he commanded the angels to bow, and the angels bowed, Shaitan did not bow. When he was creating Adam alayhi salam, the angels brought up a very, you know, very true point. They mentioned to Allah, why would you create this creation that all they're going to do is what? They are going to?
Spill blood.
Yeah, they're going to corrupt the earth, and they're going to spill blood. Meaning what? They're going to just do nothing but destroy the earth and kill each other. They were pretty accurate. I mean, there's a few exceptions, right? But if you look at history, destroying the earth and killing each other, that's kind of what humans are known for. It's what we're best at, subhanAllah. May Allah forgive us. And so, Allah responds not by saying what? No, they won't. He doesn't say that. So Allah actually, you know, in this implicit way, accepted the point that they brought up. But what did Allah Ta'ala say? He said what? Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know that which you don't know. That is the remedy at the end, right? That is the remedy for this disease of displeasure with divine decree. But there are other steps to get there. The Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, something very powerful. He said that the strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. Okay, now this isn't talking about leg day. It's not talking about a person who has more muscle mass. That's not necessarily what's being talked about here. In fact, if you look at the grammar, what's being spoken about here is the believer that is strong, meaning what? In their belief. What does strong belief look like? Mariam kind of mentioned it. What does strong belief look like?
Faith.
Faith?
Unwavering faith.
Unwavering faith, which to be honest, TBH, It's kind of impossible, right? Unwavering faith. But what does strong faith look like for us?
Trusting in God's plan.
Thank you, Drake. Trusting God's plan. Okay, mashallah. May Allah guide him. I mean, all right. May Allah guide everybody. What? I have no partiality to Drake. Okay? Trusting God's plan. What does trusting God's plan mean, though? Yeah.
I think it's patience.
Oh, interesting. That's a word that everybody hates. Because when you're going through bad times, people tell you what? Be patient. And you're like, just leave me alone. Right? That's true, yes? Something bad happens. You're kind of upset. Someone comes. Usually the imam. Be patient. You're like, God, that's not what I want to hear right now. That's not what I want to hear right now. And there is space for a person to be able to vent and to express their frustration. But mashallah, you said be patient. Why? What does being patient have to do with being a strong believer or having patience?
Am I supposed to answer
that? Sure, yeah.
Well, I mean, like, when you're patient, it's like you're being talked to a lot. Because you have to, like,
keep your cool. Yeah. Fasabrun Jamil. One of my favorite surahs, man, Surah Yusuf. You know, Surah Yusuf is so interesting, subhanAllah, because it was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ during what was called Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness, the year of grief. Prophet ﷺ, man, no one went through anything more difficult than him, ﷺ. I mean, you think about it, it just makes you want to cry. You know, he was born, his father had already passed away, his mother passed away early on in his life, his grandfather that raised him passed away, his wife passed away, he was being rejected by his people. You're talking about a person that went through more difficulty in the first half of his life, first part of his life, than most people ever experienced in their entire life. And at finally, there's the year in which he endured the most difficulty was known as Aam al-Huzn. When his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, when she asked him later, and she was younger, but when she asked him later, you know, was this the hardest day of your life? When she talked about the day of Uhud, when the Muslims were defeated, but when they had that obstacle of the Quraysh, sort of drawing at that battle, so to speak. He said, no, the hardest day of my life was the day of Ta'if, when I was rejected. I had nowhere to go, and I was rejected by those people. So the Prophet ﷺ, during Aam al-Huzn, the year of sadness, he begs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. He begs Allah for relief. He begs Allah for a plan. He wants to know what's going on, right? He asks the question, who are you entrusting me? إِذَا مَنْ تَكِلْنِي? Who are you putting in charge of me? Who's going to be the one that, you know, who's going to be the authority? He's confused, ﷺ. He doesn't doubt Allah, but he can't see what the eventual plan is. Allah sends Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf, maybe we'll do that next, inshallah. Surah Yusuf is filled with test after test after test. Not just for Yusuf, but also for Ya'qub, his father. And Ya'qub, alayhi salam, gets his son Yusuf, spoiler alert, stolen from him by his brothers and left for dead. As far as Ya'qub knows, his son is gone forever. But as his son is gone forever, he reminds himself beautifully in the surah Fasabrun Jamil, another verse or another portion that is found on Twitter and Instagram bios everywhere, right? Fasabrun Jamil. You know what that means, Sabrun Jamil? He could have just said, let me be patient, right? He could have just said, be patient. But he said, beautiful patience. What does beautiful patience mean? Beautiful patience, as a scholar said, is being patient without people knowing that you're forcing yourself to be patient, right? Because we've all been patient, but in a way that made sure everybody around us knew that we were being patient, right? But have you ever met someone that was going through something and you had no idea? SubhanAllah, remember the story about Chadwick Boseman last year when he passed away? People were making comments about his loss of weight and his appearance, and then people found out that he had cancer and he passed away. The idea that somebody is able to suffer with strength in silence. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't seek help. But there's a difference between seeking help and complaining and venting to the world, confusing Twitter for your diary, right? There's very, very big difference between those two things. And so Ya'qub alayhi salam, as he's begging Allah, complaining to Allah, he says what? Fasabrun jameel. I'm going to bear with this beautifully, with patience. Okay, very good. So here the hadith is talking about the strong believer versus the weak believer. And back to your point, Amr, it doesn't mean that you don't get rattled. It doesn't mean that you don't get shook. But what it means is that the amount of time that you're shooketh, right? The amount of time that you're rattling is minimized. Okay? A strong believer is able to reduce the amount of time that they're feeling that. Okay? Versus if I'm weak in my faith, may Allah Ta'ala strengthen us, then it rattles me for longer and longer and longer, and I'm unable to get control back of my life. So he says that the strong believer is more beloved to Allah than the weak believer, although both are good, because they both still have what? Iman. Then he says, work hard for that which will benefit you. Then seek the help of Allah and never feel helpless with anything that befalls you. Don't give up. The Prophet ﷺ is telling you, don't give up. You guys ever been to a doctor's office? Seen those posters? Right? Those with the cat hanging on. Hang in there. You ever seen those? Like those motivation posters in random places? The Prophet ﷺ, he's telling us very powerfully this motivation. Don't give up. You're going through something. Don't lose hope. You know the word Iblis? You know where it comes from in Arabic? It means to despair, to give up. And that's Shaytan's original name. Shaytan gave up. Shaytan made a mistake, and instead of repenting, he said what? This is who I am. I'll never change. This is what I am. He gave up. But Adam alayhi salam, our father, and Hawa, his wife, alayhi salam, when they made a small mistake, they turned back to Allah. رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِن لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُنَّنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Oh Allah, please forgive us, we've wronged ourselves, and so forth. So never despairing is a sign of belief, is a sign of faith. So he says, never ever give up, don't feel helpless. And never say, you ready for this? He says, وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ فَإِنَّا لَوْ. He says that if nothing happens to you, he says, وَلَكِنْ قُلْ قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ فَإِنَّا لَوْ. He says, تَفْتَحْ عَمَلَ الشَّيْطَانِ. If a person says, if only I had done this or this or this, he says what? تَحْتَحْ لِلشَّيْطَانِ. It opens for Shaytan to come in and have a party. A party of what? Doubt, crisis of faith, resentment towards God, hatred of Allah and other people. That specific word is something that opens that door. And so, and another hadith we'll share, and then we'll talk about a little bit of how to get there. The Prophet ﷺ, he actually says something very powerful. No matter what happens to you, it's something good. And this is like next level stuff. I know it's very difficult, and I know our generation, we tend to be a little bit pessimistic, right? I follow a lot of y'all on Instagram, I know, right? We tend to vent online, it's true. And that's okay. There are times for a person to be upset. There are times for a person to be sad and to call out upon Allah. Absolutely. Allah created us with emotions, not so that we wouldn't feel them. But he created us so that we would be able to express those emotions in a way that would allow us to come closer to him. Even our sadness and our anger and our frustration and our confusion should all be directed and end towards Allah. Oh Allah, this is happening to me and it's breaking me. Oh Allah, this is happening. I'm seeing this and I cannot handle it. Oh Allah, give me strength. Oh Allah, give me clarity. Oh Allah, give me the ability to handle this, right? So the Prophet ﷺ said in a beautiful hadith, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, how interesting, how beautiful is every single issue and every single thing that happens in your life. Now, not everyone here, how many of y'all have gone through something really bad recently? Really tough. Okay? Yeah, may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you. So you hear this hadith and you're like, oh God, here we go. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The Prophet ﷺ is really saying how good it was. You ready for this? عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He says, in أَمْرَهُ كُلُّهُ خَيْرٍ. Everything that happens to them is good. If you've gone through something bad, you're like, oh gosh, right? Because again, your heart is feeling disappointment, but you're hearing with your ears this statement from the Prophet ﷺ. So you have to believe it. So you're like, how do I negotiate these two things? وَلَيْسَ ذَٰلِكَ لِأَحْعَدٍ إِلَّا الْمُؤْمِنِ. And it is never the case for anybody to feel that way, except for the one who believes. Your belief changes you. Your belief makes you different. What makes you able to sit in a situation where everything is going opposite of what you want and you say, Alhamdulillah. You guys ever met someone like that? Car accident, Alhamdulillah. You're like, what? Did I not learn? Do I not know what that means, right? You know, my mother, man, may Allah bless her, she's literally this kind of person. Missing flight, Alhamdulillah. Car accident, Alhamdulillah. Anything bad, she's like, Alhamdulillah. And you look at her and you're like, what's going on? And this is what she lives. Her faith makes her realize that Allah is taking care of her, no matter what she is happening in her life. And the belief is what does that. In asabatu sarra'u shakar. Sorry. In asabatu sarra'u shakara. That if a person goes through a good time, okay, then they thank Allah. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And it is good for them. And if they went asabatu darra'u sabara, and if they go through difficulty, then they are patient. Fakana khayran lahu. That patience is good for them. How many of you have ever had something that you were desperately trying to achieve, and when it didn't happen, you were broken? Anybody? Fast forward now a few years or a few months. When it didn't happen, you look back and you were actually very relieved it did not happen. Anybody? Yeah. Anybody willing to share? I know it's personal, so don't share something too personal, okay? If it has to do like a body rash or something, no, we don't need to hear about it here. We have a PA that can help you, okay? But anything like, you know, that you feel comfortable sharing, we'd appreciate. Yeah, Abdullah.
So I think when I rank my places where I want to go to residency, my first pick was Houston. And this is my second pick.
His first pick was Houston, man.
So I ended up here. Alhamdulillah, things really worked out. I met my wife here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You met Samia here?
Yeah, she's from Dallas.
Wow, mashallah.
And alhamdulillah, I like the city, the Muslim community. So I think a lot of good came out of coming here.
Alhamdulillah. The best thing came, there we go. The best thing ever in your life came from moving here. Let me help you. Right? So what, he says, when he was ranking his residencies, he wanted to go where? To Houston, all right? It's okay, you know? We forgive you, Allah al-Qur'an, okay? But then, you know, he comes here to Dallas, didn't necessarily intend on that, meets his wife, and the rest, as they say, is history. Alhamdulillah, all right? Samia, mashallah. A good example, right? You had, and maybe you had your intent to go to Houston for whatever reason. It could have been like a variety of, there could be actually very legitimate reason, by the way. You know, maybe there's family there. Maybe it's a place you're comfortable with. Again, it's not necessarily that it was a bad thing, but whatever you didn't intend was better for you. And subhanAllah, the older you get, like whenever I talk about qadr, that's predestiny, all the younger people in the room are like looking at me like, I trust you, right? Like, I don't know. Everyone like 30-ish and up, or people maybe who have gone through things, but even though they're younger, they've gone through a lot, they're all nodding their heads. Because it is something that can only be experienced. It can't be theoretically talked about. Like, I'm basically telling you what's going to happen in the future. For those of you who are maybe on the younger side, and you're like, I don't know, man, things are just really tough. Like, I don't know how any of this can be explained as good. If you look at somebody next to you who maybe has a little bit more life experience and they're nodding their heads, then you know that it's going to be okay, right? Things that you desperately thought you needed, Allah Ta'ala gives you something much better than that, okay? And Abdullah has that example. Anyone else want to share an example? Yeah.
So when I just started undergrad, I wanted to leave the city I was born and raised in, Memphis.
Okay.
But my dad made me stay. And I remember as a kid, I was like bitter as anything.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to leave. I want to go. Mom, won't you let me leave? But now that I'm older, it was probably the best thing that could happen.
MashaAllah.
I had no clue what the hell I was going to do with my life. And staying there, like, I got closer to my folks. I met incredible people who are like good friends.
Alhamdulillah.
Helped me get closer to Islam and everything.
Alhamdulillah.
And now I'm leaving, and it's like, dang, I sort of don't want to leave.
Yeah, there you go. Right? Yeah. Absolutely, man. Beautiful story. Wanted to go away for school. How many of y'all, same thing? Wanted to go away for school. Your parents are like, no, you're going to live with me till you're 35. Right? Like, what if I get married? You're like, ahlan, welcome her or him too. We're all moving in, right? I can make barakah for everybody. That was a little bit, I was kind of pointing at some. Okay, anyway, so. So, and then, you know, he ends up realizing his friends, his family, his community, his faith all became better as a result of what? Staying near home. Maybe not for everybody, by the way, so this isn't like a universal thing, but again, trust the process. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, there we go, mashallah. See? That's what you think, okay? Are you busy, maybe? Right, mashallah, yeah.
Yeah, so last year, like, I was getting an internship offer in Massachusetts, so I am from New York, but I got an offer from Massachusetts, and my mom was like, hey, you know what, don't take it, and take another one, you know, and then the COVID started, that internship canceled, but I listened to my mom, I ended up getting a 15-month internship at WMD. So, like, you know, the other internship got canceled due to COVID, but I was mad that, hey, you know, I wanted to go to the city and explore more places, but, you know, I ended up listening to my mom, but fast forward 1 month, I get this really good offer in the city, and it didn't, like, get canceled due to COVID.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, so you'd have been left hanging, right? Gets an internship, wants to take it, mom says, don't, take the other one, takes the other one, and the first one disappears due to the pandemic, right? So the lesson is, listen to your mother, mashallah. It seems to be the theme that we have going on here, okay? So the reason why I'm sharing this, everybody, is because at the end of the day, the reality is the quicker you're able to understand that you don't know everything, the more you'll be able to trust in Allah Ta'ala's plan. One of my friends, he actually very beautifully illustrated this to me, and he said, it's like riding a wave. You know, if anyone's been surfing before, or if anyone's fallen off of a surfboard before, or anything, you understand that there is a momentum that you have to trust to carry you. And you working against that, or in any other direction, is not going to be efficient. You have to trust the wave of Allah Ta'ala's plan and His destiny in order for you to ride it. And that's what ultimately is being talked about here. The Prophet ﷺ said, in even more explicitly, in a hadith, he said, عَجَبًا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَقْدِي لِلْمُؤْمِنِ قَضَاءً إِلَّا كَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. How amazing is it for the believer? Allah never gives them anything but what's good for them. And again, you read that, you're like, oh, that's nice and beautiful. But then the next time you're struggling, you're like, where is that good? The thing is, it's there, you just have to find it. The good is there, and you have to find it. And sometimes, before you can see the good, you need to experience the disappointment that humans feel, the emotions that we all experience. You need to experience that. But eventually, once you're able to process, then you know that you'll be able to experience the good that Allah Ta'ala has placed there for you. So what should then a person do? Imam Ghazali says that there's four reactions you have to have. Because, by the way, this isn't about not having reactions. We said this. It's about shortening the reaction time. So what are the four things Imam Ghazali says? Well, he says, if you look at your life, there's four things that happen. Number one, you either are blessed. We'll start with the one that's most frequent. Imam Ghazali says, you're blessed. And what should you do when you're blessed? Say Alhamdulillah. Good job, Salah. MashaAllah, right? Say Alhamdulillah. Okay? What else? What else should you do? Huh? Good. Yeah, yeah. Pray. Good. Yes. Perform acts of worship. So Imam Ghazali says, look, if you recognize your blessings, don't just say Alhamdulillah and miss Asr. Right? You're like, Alhamdulillah. And like mugger. Then Isha, you're like, Alhamdulillah, I'm still alive. Thought that was close, right? He says, say Alhamdulillah and do your acts of worship. That's the best way to thank Allah. You know, some people prefer to be thanked in different ways. Right? Brownies, hugs, love languages, right? Some people like acts of service, gifts, words of affirmation. Allah's love language is worship, is salah, right? That's why if the time for salah is there, I can do everything else that Allah loves, but all the scholars of fiqh, they agree, it's unanimous. The thing to do when it's time to pray for Allah is prayer, okay? So if I truly want to thank Allah, everyone can say we're grateful, right? Everybody can say that. It's a very nice thing to say, it's convenient. I'm grateful, I'm such a grateful Muslim. But ask yourself one question, and myself one question, what's my prayer look like? You know, if my prayer is not on point, then my gratitude is missing something. Because Allah wants that. Doesn't want other things. So Imam Ghazali says, you realize you're blessed? Good. Pray. Right? You're grateful to Allah for the day He's going to give you? Start it with Fajr. You're grateful to Allah for the job or the school He gave you? Stop for Dhuhr. You're grateful to Allah for the food or for lunch? Pray Asr. Safety arriving home? Pray Maghrib. Isha for the whole day, pray Isha. It's, you know, you just add something. My teacher said, you have trouble with prayer, struggling to get up and pray, struggling to do it properly. Ask yourself, what prayer am I praying this for? And do that for Allah. Number two is that when you are tested with tribulation, Imam Ghazali says, have patience beautifully. Meaning what? Try your best to keep your patience between you and Allah. Now, if you have people in your life, like your friend, the Prophet ﷺ went to his wife Khadija radiallahu anha. He went to his close friends Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma. If you have people in your life, it's okay to talk to them. That's fine. But there's a difference between reaching out to somebody in your life and reaching out to somebody, everybody in life, right? There's a big difference. And one of those, the difference is found at what? Unfortunately, if I tell everybody about all the negativity that's ever happened to me, it is a sign of displeasure with Allah, right? It's a sign of displeasure with Allah because it's essentially just passing around negative vibes about Allah. Instead of telling someone that you know just for the human element, and then when things eventually get better, that person and you will sit there and you will laugh and say, SubhanAllah, I thought that that thing was bad, but it ended up being good for me. Number three, he says, when you are obedient to Allah, when you do the right thing, then you should thank Allah Ta'ala and become self-aware. Meaning what? Don't become self-righteous. When you do the right thing, don't say, MashaAllah, look at me, look at me, look at me, right? When you do the right thing, You say, Masha'Allah, what else can I do? Become self-aware. And when you become disobedient, he says, return back to Allah. Okay, let's do some causes, symptoms, and cures. What causes displeasure with Allah's decree? What causes it, everybody? What do you think?
Distrust.
Okay, good. Yes. Explain. Give me a little bit more about that.
Not trusting God.
Yeah. Okay. There's a lack of trust in Allah's plan. Very good. Okay, what else?
Comparing yourself to others.
Yeah. How does that cause displeasure with Allah's decree?
Because you are kind of like, well, I'm going through this rough stuff. Why is everyone else doing good?
Yep. Which is directly connected to kind of the world that we live in, right? With social media, the highlight reel. So you compare your lowlights to other people's highlights, right? So someone has their kid dressed up in like some beautiful, this one, sorry, my laptop. Your kid is dressed up, or your other friend's kid's dressed up in some beautiful outfit, and your kid is covered in their own vomit. And you're like, what? Right? Oh, yours like, ew, okay, call me in 5 years, inshallah, right? You'll be catching it, right? I'm 10 for 10 on receptions, by the way, mashallah, with Musa. Right? I'm like wide receiver, you. You have anything in there? Extension? Try doing that room, see if you can find one. Inshallah, thanks, Mia. Okay, very good. Comparing yourself. What else? Okay, what do you mean by that? Who said it? You did? Okay, yeah.
I don't know that, but that's
wow, okay. Just came from the heart, right? But you're kind of right. Arrogance in what way? Well, how can arrogance lead to displeasure with divine decree?
Like if you think you're better than everybody, and the way when you have your head up, you look there, and, you know, in reality, you're like, I guess that's more than everyone else.
Okay, interesting, right? Interesting.
Ego.
In a way where, yeah, once, yeah, kind of together, in a way where what? A person might think, like, I shouldn't have to go through difficulty. Like, I'm not, you know, I'm better than that, you know? I was just talking to somebody recently, man, subhanAllah, and they were saying that they were going through some really, really difficult. And you know what the solution was we came to after, like, 2 hours of conversation? I said, you just have to humble yourself, you know? They were struggling with a friend, and basically the friend was kind of asking too much of them financially. You guys know what I'm talking about? You guys understand what I'm saying? Okay. So they were asking too much of them financially. The friend was asking too much. And I told the person, I said, just humble yourself. And what they said, what do you mean? I said, just say I can't afford it. And it was like very difficult. It was like, you know what I mean? To say I can't afford it, especially for that person, maybe because maybe this is the first time that they've come across that challenge in their life, that they can't afford whatever they think that they have. Oh, my God. Oh, no. It failed. That's okay. Okay? You got it? All right, mashallah. Well, the screen just died. That's okay. All right. So that arrogance. What else? I have a list here, but I want to hear what you guys say. What causes displeasure with divine decree? A couple more seconds. Huh? Materialism. Okay. A little bit louder. Okay. Yeah. The scholars write this. They say that basically your focus is on the wrong part. Your focus is on the wrong world. So if you become displeased with Allah's decree, it's because why? You're really just concerned about this life. So if I always am resentful towards what Allah has written for me, well, maybe I'm not realizing what? The value of what He's written for me. Because when Allah Ta'ala writes for you a test, what happens? The famous hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that nothing bad ever happens to a believer, even the pricking of a thorn, except that what? Allah lifts away your sins. Think of how many sins you've committed, guys. One of my teachers said something really scary. He said, we've committed so many sins that we can't even remember them. That's crazy, huh? So then, when bad things happen, and you realize in that moment that as the bad thing is happening, your sins are being lifted from you. It doesn't mean that you're like seeking out bad experiences, right? But what it means is that when they befall you, you say what? Okay, I see the value in this. I understand what's happening. There's actually a book written by this man, Izzuddin Abdus Salam, and he wrote Fada'al al-Ibtila, Fada'al al-Mihn wal-Balwa. What's fadal mean? Like the favors or the virtues or like the benefits of when bad things happen. It's actually a book that I'm translating. It should be published this year, inshallah. Make dua. So It's a list of 17 good things that happen when you're tested. He actually wrote 17 things. And one of them was that you stop caring about the dunya. When bad things happen, you're like, whatever. You know what I mean? Maybe you're like focused on getting a beautiful new car, and then you get into a car accident, and you're like, I just want a car. I just want a car, right? Singular. Maybe you're like not getting, you know, something that you're desiring, and you're like, okay, I'm low. I just want to live. I just want to survive. I just want to be there. I don't necessarily, you know, I'm going to lower my expectations of this dunya. Okay? You know, you want to fly business class, and then you're like, you know what? Spirit is fine. Like, I'm okay. Just get me there safely. Bumps and all. Okay? I know we have a lot of Spirit loyalty people here. MashaAllah. Humayun. You know. Risk is? Yeah. Very good. Your provision is already proportioned. It's already apportioned for you. Allah Ta'ala has already determined that. Very good. Okay? The next thing as well that's mentioned is that you have a misunderstanding of patience. So the scholars wrote this. They said that a person's patience is deficient in understanding. Patience doesn't mean that you just sit there and take whatever is coming to you. So let's say, for example, it's raining outside. Okay, being patient doesn't mean standing in the rain. Sabr doesn't mean you're patient. It means what? It means you persevere. Perseverance means that you're patient while you do something. So you're not just standing there taking it. I think a lot of times we're told be patient as a code for what? Don't do anything. And that's incorrect. Being patient means keep going. And as you're going, be patient. But don't stop. So if it's raining outside, you don't just stand there, you keep going. You go to wherever you're supposed to go, your car, your door, wherever it might be. You keep moving. If a person is told, just stand there in the rain and let it pour on you, then yeah, they won't find any benefit, any sort of prosperity in the trouble they're going through at all. Okay? So what are some symptoms of this disease? Number one, this is bad, guys. This is like pointing directly at me. Consistently being negative. The scholars wrote, a person who's always negative. Super cynical. You know, have you guys ever met someone, mashallah, who can turn, you know, lemons into lemonade? No matter what bad thing's happening, they're always able to find the good thing out of it. You ever met someone like that? You know? Have you guys ever met someone who can turn lemonade back into lemons? Like, no matter what good thing happens, they always find the negative thing? I think we laugh more because, honestly, it's you know, man, I just thought about myself, man, subhanAllah, this weekend. Yeah, I just thought about myself, man. Just complaining is too easy, man. It's too easy. You know, somebody gives you something, and like one thing is not right about it, but 100 things are fine, and you're like, you just focus on the one thing, man. I'm really just thinking about myself. It's too easy to complain. Like my grandfather-in-law said, if I spent all day thanking Allah, I wouldn't have time. I wouldn't have time to complain. You know, you go to a wedding, and food is served. And there's 7 dishes, 6 of them are some kind of animal, right? We're like on PETA's watch list at this point, dude. Yeah. Muslim wedding season's approaching, right? Hide your cows and chickens, like, and your goats too, apparently. And one of the dishes is cold or too spicy or not spicy enough, depending on which ethnicity. Right now with all these mixed marriages, we don't even know anymore what to serve, right? I'm Egyptian, my wife's Bengali, like it was, you know, we just serve pizza at that point, like, please everybody, right? And if you walk around the tables and you ask people, like, how was the food, like, no one talks about the 6 things that were fine. It's always the one thing that was a little bit off. You know what I mean? But you look at the Prophet, what did he say? He said, لو أهدي قرآن لقبلته. If somebody gave me a gift that was a dry bone, I would accept it. Somebody just came to me on my birthday and said, here, happy birthday. Right? You guys ever seen that video? It's an avocado. You guys know what I mean? That kid is an icon. Somebody needs to find out where he is now. That kid is sugar personified. The parent was testing a child by wrapping an avocado in wrapping paper on Christmas or their birthday or something. And the kid opened it, and he obviously did not want an avocado, right? But he because, again, the parents did a great job, mashallah, and Allah Ta'ala programmed this kid with fitrah that was just grateful. He said, it's an avocado, the same way that you would say it's a new car. It's an avocado. Like, he said that. Thank you, right? And subhanAllah, you wonder where that child, that beautiful, innocent, childish gratitude goes. And that kid has less than we have. And the older we get, the more critical we become. How is that restaurant? Look, you're not Bobby Flay, dude. Like, you're not like Gordon Ramsay. No one needs your like kitchen assessment, right? If you didn't like something about it, you know what the Prophet ﷺ used to say? Oh man, this kid today, or at this wedding I was at, I offered him something from my dessert plate, and he just vaccinated things. I offered him something from my dessert plate, and he said, you know, I don't feel any desire for that. And everyone laughed, just like you guys. Like, everyone's like, haha, what a weirdo. Okay, Shakespeare. You know what's crazy? That's exactly how the Prophet ﷺ rejected food. Khalid ibn Walid, who was a very tough guy, he loved eating the dub, known as a desert lizard. You guys can look it up. Look up the dub lizard. It looks like a mini dragon. Okay, you know that dragon from Harry Potter during the cup? It's spiky. It does not look appetizing at all. I don't care what kind of like burger you can turn that into. But Khalid loved it. Khalid loved it. It was his favorite food because he was from the tribe that used to eat it. So have you guys ever met someone who loves something and wanted you to love it too? That was Khalid. Khalid got dub. The Prophet ﷺ came. He was like, oh my God. So he offered the dub to the Prophet ﷺ and he gave him like the best part. He pushed it all in front of him and he looked at him. He was like, here it goes. This is the part now where he's going to love what I love. You know? And they used to want the Prophet ﷺ to love what they love. They wanted that. What an honor when you admire somebody so much and they love what you love. So the Prophet ﷺ takes one look at the lizard. And he said, ma wajadtu fi nafsi, I don't find in my soul. I forget exactly the wording, but he said, like, I'm not finding any desire for this. But you know what he's saying, right? That looks gross. Like, I don't want to eat that, you know? Because it's like a spiky lizard. It's like green. And he's like, Khalid's like, And the Prophet was like, please enjoy. You know, like, just kind of puts it back to him. But you know, his answer, and language matters, but his answer is dancing very carefully around ingratitude. He doesn't want to be ungrateful, right? So much of the symptom of this disease is that if I'm ungrateful to people constantly, eventually that lack of gratitude is going to spill over to Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said what? He said, من لا يشكر الناس لا يشكر الله. Whoever does not thank people will not thank Allah. And the opposite is true. Whoever is constantly critical of everyone and everything around them, eventually it's going to spill over to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being critical, being cynical, is not like as cool as it's made out to be. Being grateful and being gracious and being magnanimous, right, is really impressive. When you meet people that can sit and have something that you know they don't like, and they can act like it's the best food in the world, that's someone you need to be friends with. May Allah Ta'ala give us friends like that, man. Okay? Another symptom is being displeased with the source of the problems. It's okay to be upset with something that it happens, but you don't want to be upset with the source of that problem. Okay? You don't want to be upset with the source, meaning what? Oftentimes our complaints are only one step away from just saying the name Allah. Why is this happening to me? Right? As opposed to some people might even say like, why does the earth or why does this hate me? And they're just replacing that one word, right? Why is God doing this to me? Why does God hate me? It's very important, again, as you feel the disappointment, as you feel that sadness, to not let it go over the edge of that glass, that cup, that is your heart, okay? And the last symptom, like we said, is being able to find the negative in any situation. Okay, so what are the cures for this disease? And then we'll pray Maghrib together, inshallah. Number one, when you are in a moment that is testing you, do not stop thinking about the silver linings. Like, start to count them up, okay? And you might have to go pretty creative. You might have to, okay? Like, I have a friend who recently, he's a good friend, he might even be watching, I apologize if he is, that he had like a major plumbing issue in his house and pipes burst and there was like, you know, well, in Dallas, this happened very recently, right, with a lot of people's homes, subhanAllah. And their damage was crazy. Mold damage, everything, like renovations, they had to call insurance, out for like weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks from their homes. And you ask them like, hey, are you okay? Is everything all right? And they just say, alhamdulillah, I'm so happy that this happened at this time. Or this happened, because they're expecting a baby in a couple months. He said, I'm so happy it happened before the baby. Could you imagine after the baby? Like, his mind wasn't even thinking about how bad it was. He was just thinking, what? I'm just happy it happened now and not later. That's silver lining. This dude's house is ruined, right? As far as right now, he has to, you know, they're in there every day trying to dry it out, get the mold out, rebuild, all that kind of stuff. And now, and getting a piece of wood is like, you have to sell your kidney, right? That's a joke for those of you build, who are building a house, right? Lumber prices are crazy, supplies are backed up, and he has so much to complain about, but he says, man, alhamdulillah, I didn't have when the baby was here. Just the ability to find that, okay? Don't stop until you find the silver lining. And the last cure, right, there's two main ones. Well, three. The next one is to trust in Allah Ta'ala. And what helps you trust in Allah is when you reflect on your previous times of tribulation. Trust in somebody is built upon previous moments of trust that were fulfilled. So for example, if I ask somebody for a ride to the airport, and they've given me a ride before, and they're on time, I have trust in them, right? So what do I have to do to rekindle and strengthen my trust in Allah? Is think back to all the times in my life that I thought things were going south and remember that Allah Ta'ala was there for me then. And you have to get creative. You have to think to yourself, when did I have this negative thought before? When did I have this thought of doubt about Allah before? And allow yourself to feel that moment of relief again. Man, Allah really delivered. He took care of me. That was no joke, right? That Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever trusts in Allah, they will find Allah enough for them. But notice, in order for you to find that Allah is enough for you, you have to trust Him first. Allah doesn't say, everybody will find that Allah is enough. No. وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Whoever firmly